You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Four-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. It is great of you to join us. I am your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and sitting with me tonight, the lines are set up. Ladies and gentlemen, give it to Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected.
Hello.
What's going on, Albert?
Oh, nothing. We got a Pro Wrestling Planet has a new Instagram page, so go like that. Instagram.com/TheProWrestlingPlanet, because there's other Pro Wrestling Planets on there, and they're not the same. It's The Pro Wrestling Planet, so go give us a like on Instagram. But
right
it's,
on, go give a like on the Instagram, and welcome everybody if you happen to be listening to us on Instagram, right on, yeah. Also joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Peacemaker, Kev Yates. What's going on, bud?
Hey, what's up? What's up? I just got back. I went over to Dominic Mysterio's house, knocked on the door, see if he wanted to play PlayStation, and sign my title belt for me.
Nice.
No, I'm here.
I like that.
Good to see you guys again.
Already the material's flowing. And ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Watchdog, Christian from.
These past few days have been a shit show for wrestling. It's been a shit show.
A total shit show. And you know what? There has been a lot of shit show stuff going on, and we are going to get all of that and more. But first, ladies and gentlemen, yes, thank you. But first, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, and people of all ages, first, we have birthdays. Christian, you got the birthday song for us?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We don't really give a fuck, but a happy birthday to you, you old fucking fossils.
Oh, my God. I'm sure I can use that soundbite later for something. But I digress. Guys, getting to the birthdays, we have none other than, man, this guy, he was on the roster when we first started doing this several years ago, many, many, many moons ago. And Damian Sandow, he was on the roster, and we were talking about it. I don't know, nobody, all of a sudden it went to shit for him. But happy birthday, Damian Sandow. You can see him now performing on NWA. So he's a current. Currently in the NWA roster.
It's just not the same. It's just not the same, to be honest.
Yeah. Frankly, I enjoyed his work, man. And then next thing you know, he was gone. He got future endeavored. And the best way it is. Is that what it was?
That's when it went downhill.
Ladies and gentlemen, we also have tomorrow, we have one birthday today, and that's Damian Sandow, so happy birthday for Damian Sandow, but tomorrow we've got quite a few. We got three of them. Dean Malenko, 1960, this guy. That puts him at right about 60 years old, 61? 61
yeah,
years
in,
old?
He's in AEW.
Happy birthday.
Dean Stinko Malenko, as Jericho used to call him. Stinko Malenko.
So
Albert,
what
do you remember about Stinko Malenko, Albert?
Dude, that guy was awesome, man. What are you talking about? He was like one of my favorites in WCW at the time. And who else? Yeah, somebody else called him Stinko Malenko. I think it was Scott Hall. I think Jericho, yeah, for sure called him Stinko Malenko. But I think Scott Hall called him that a couple of times too.
Yeah,
and you know, he's a wrestler's wrestler, man. And yeah, he made everybody look good or bad, depending on how you look at it.
Well, I think he made everybody look good. I thought he was a good wrestler.
The problem with Dean, right? It's not for his wrestling skills, right? He was a great wrestler. The problem is he was boring as fuck. He had no personality.
Yeah. And you know, at that time, I mean, you could clearly see it. You could clearly see you could clearly tell who the guys with personality were and who the guys were that just, they didn't have it. They didn't have, as great as the wrestler he was, he just didn't have that it factor. Like when it came to, he didn't have any charisma. Let's just put it like that. And so, but yeah, we still wish him a happy birthday.
It's like Bret Hart said, you know, very few guys have all three. And the three things you need to be successful in wrestling is, one, ring ability, two, the ability to talk, or three, the charisma, and I'm quoting Bret Hart. He's the man, but
Bret
you can get by with
out.
One of the three.
Yeah, he had no charisma.
Yeah, Bret Hart had one out of three. He sucked in the mic. He sucked at charisma, and that's why he didn't do a Diamond World Champion.
And I guarantee you, we got more. I'm Bret Hart coming up, but let's go to the next birthday. Suicide. Suicide, you guys know Suicide, right? Everybody knows Suicide. 1977.
Which one? Birthday Suicide. I got scared.
1977. Yeah.
Suicide.
Which one?
No,
Suicide,
man. It doesn't
was a
there was a couple of guys under the Suicide name.
Shit. Now we have a problem.
It was TJP. Then Christopher Daniels, and then some other guy, Loki, and then some other guy. But that's
yeah.
It.
He was kind of like TNA's Doink
the
Clown.
It was the birthday of the character.
You know?
The character
was in 1977.
The character
I doubt it was Christopher Daniels.
The character was made from the TNA video game that came out for Xbox. That's where the character came from.
Interesting. You know who else? Speaking of Christopher Daniels, you know who else has a birthday tomorrow? August 4th? Frankie fucking Kaz. Frankie Kazarian,
yeah,
baby. Also born in 1977. Pat Tanaka, August 5th. And Dino Bravo, August 6th. And recently with WWE, what was it, the British division or some shit? Tony Nese.
It was the Cruiserweight division.
The Cruiserweight division. There you go.
He's not with the company no more. He got fired.
Yeah. Shame on him. But oh well.
Shame on him.
Well, if he got fired, he got fired. Hopefully he's working somewhere else.
Shame on the company. That's not shame on him. That's shame on the
company. You never
know.
Maybe he did something to get fired. Maybe he fucking, you know, wore something that Vince McMahon didn't like, and that was enough to trigger him to fire him. Who the fuck knows?
He was one of the people. He was one of the releases on Black Friday. He was one of the list of people.
Oh, hell. And we've had quite a few black days lately in, for releases in WWE, but we're going to get to that shit. Later on. Tomorrow, I'm sorry, August 8th, we have Rena Sable Merrill. You guys remember Sable?
Mm-hmm.
I never thought she was hot. I never thought she was hot. I really didn't. I never thought she was hot.
The first poster of like a chick that I had up in my room was well, technically it was a poster of Laura Croft from Tomb Raider that said "Slippery When Wet" on it, and it was like the computer graphics. But then the next poster, I got it at a carnival, and it was Sable, and I put it up, and we lived with my grandma at the time, and I remember it was like this whole thing. Like I should never have put the picture of Sable up in my wall. You know what I mean?
What did your grandma say about the Sable poster, Kevin?
I can't remember exactly. I just remember like that. I was definitely asked to take it down, and she was wearing like a leather, like a one piece bikini, like just, but it was like, you know, it's kind of like the Baywatch bikini, but like, but black leather. So it was a little lewd, you know. I was like, but I won it with one of them where you throw the dart at the balloon thing, you know. So it was my prize.
Oh, hell yeah. That's some good stuff there, Kev.
Was it a legit poster, or was it like some sort of knockoff, some Carney knockoff?
It was definitely like a Carney, like a small, like 6x8.
A Carney
with
a
mirror?
Poster.
With a mirror around it? Like the Kiss ones you used to get from the carnival?
Oh, yeah. That's fun. Just the last thing on Sable, though, is that she improved a lot. Once they started pushing her, that chick, like, turned into, like, a pretty decent wrestler. And she ran with it when they were pushing her. So I don't have any hate or heat for Sable at all. She was cool.
Her powerbomb was shit.
That's Brock's wife.
Yeah.
That's Brock's wife. So let's go to 715. Caller, you're on the air with Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Trent over in Wisconsin.
What's up, Trent?
Trent over in Wisconsin. What's going on? What's going on, Trent?
Hey, not a lot, but I did have a thought. You mentioned Jericho a little bit ago. Right now, of course, he's right in the middle of the five labors, you know, so far. He's had, you know, Sean Spears, Gage. You know, he's making his way through. I had a couple of thoughts on who could be next. I feel like with Juventud Guerrera being next week, or tomorrow, I should say, I'm thinking they're probably going to pull somebody else from his past. I would love to see Lance Storm. And then I feel like at the end, it's probably going to be Wardlow. And I see MJF really kind of screwing with everything and basically costing Jericho that final match. What do you guys think?
Let's go to the resident watchdog. What do you think, Christian?
I think it could be Bryan Danielson to face Jericho.
Very true.
Damn.
That could be the one way for him to debut against Chris Jericho.
I was thinking something similar, but completely opposite. I was thinking the final labor would be CM Punk.
No, it
wasn't Jericho at one point calling himself the best in the world at what he does? I mean, that's kind of similar to his old tagline. I mean, it makes a little sense there, but one point there.
I like that.
Yeah, but that means that CM Punk's going to lose in his first match in AEW. That would be bad.
Or do they drag it out and have him lose the fifth labor and continue this storyline with MJF just dicking him over?
No, they can't, because the whole deal is if he loses the five labors, he can't face MJF. That's the whole point.
That's true.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what
somebody...
the stipulation of that was.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So he is going to beat the five labors.
I think Brian makes the most sense,
but
I don't want to see Brian lose his first match either.
There's definitely other people they could bring out.
He could bring out. I don't know. And then you got to think of it like from NJF's point of view too. So I was going to say somebody like Big Show in the ring, but they can't do that. Because it doesn't fit MJF's character, like convincing Paul to do that or whatever. I don't know. So,
It's wrestling. it's wrestling, right? And you got to think of it like this. It's like, dude, I mean, who knows what's going to happen on the final match anyway? It could just be an MJF run-in and he beats up Jericho, ends up with a no contest, however you call it, and then we have, you know, a continuation of that storyline that is, I don't know. I mean, it could, there's so many different things you could do here. I mean, everything knows that you know, things like this in wrestling are never really set in stone.
I think he's going to face MJF, but one of the Inner Circle members is going to fuck over Jericho. I think it's going to be Jake Hager.
Well, it is what it is, and it's all speculation. But I'll tell you what, man, it is duly noted, because for a guy like me, who is, you know, I'm just starting to watch AEW. So this is all new and exciting for me. This is all new and exciting for me. I mean, like, I am just, I'm not certified yet. But holy shit, man, I am really excited to finally switch the channel. And I said last week that I was going to stop paying attention to WWE. And don't get me wrong, I still watched it, but it's out of habit. It's out of habit. And I wasn't too impressed with what I saw, but I'm anxious to see what goes on with AEW. I mean, I'm really interested in this whole Jericho thing. I don't know any of these characters that you guys are talking about, but it's all new to me. Actually, some of them, yes. So it's all new to me, and I'm fucking digging
it. What do you mean? What do you mean you don't know the characters? You don't know Juventud? He was in WCW.
Yeah, but the other guys, man. What were the other names that were mentioned on this Jericho deal?
I said Daniel Bryan.
Oh,
Bryan Danielson.
Oh, Billy Bob Johnson.
Yeah, there you go. Billy Bob Johnson.
Not Trent, not
Trent
Beretta.
From Wisconsin.
And yeah, oh, Trent from Wisconsin was also on there. Joe Sampson, you know him? Joe Sampson.
But I digress, guys. So let's move on. We got Shayna Baszler has a birthday also on August 8th. And then the last one on the list, guys, the real doozy, Alexa Bliss, August 9th.
She's a poor girl. Poor girl, poor girl. She's gonna get heat. Poor girl.
She's gonna get heat for what?
She's gonna get heat for. You know why? Because you know why. We're gonna talk about it later, but you know why. You know why.
But you know,
they already
started last night, didn't they? And then they showed her backstage. I heard some of the audience booing.
Yeah. So. The poor girl, it's over.
From Wisconsin for the call. He has quietly dismissed himself.
I don't know what you're talking about,
but I guess we will get to that. So
no, it's Bray Wyatt.
Now I know. Because she tweeted out about Bray Wyatt. Oh, my God.
No, it's because fucking they took Bray Wyatt's character, they gave it to Alexa Bliss, and now that he's gone, she's going to get fucking heat from the crowd, and the poor girl, the gimmick's fucking dead, all right? The gimmick's dead. Nobody's going to fucking like it no more. It's over.
Hmm. Well, she did take that beat down last night. Really much of a beatdown, but you know, it was all right, I guess. It was a cool spot. Anyway, let's move on. To history. We don't have a theme for this one yet either, but we possibly could get one. You got a theme for history? Let's hear it.
We're going to take you back to some history shit because, frankly, we'd rather go back to the fucking past than the present. That's the theme.
Oh my God, Christian on fire with the theme. Oh shit. So moving on though, we have 25 years ago. No. 24 years ago, WWF presented SummerSlam, Heart and Soul, and Heart is H-A-R-T, all right? And this was from the Continental Airlines Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey, which I believe is a parking lot now. I'm almost sure. Back 24 years ago. So you figure it out and tell me.
Okay.
20,000 people, 20,213 were in attendance. And there was a shitload more watching in pay-per-view, 250,000 homes watching on pay-per-view. And keep in mind, back then, pay-per-views were every bit of 35, 40 bucks, maybe even 45.
I just did the math. It was 1997.
Excellent. The show was the final appearance for Todd Pettingill. You guys remember that guy? And the debut of his replacement, Michael freaking Cole, from Brownsville, Texas, baby.
They made the wrong choice. They should have kept Todd. I don't know why they got rid of him.
I said Texas.
I don't know why they got rid of Todd Pettingill. He was the hype man for the pre-shows for the pay-per-view.
Well, you know, it is what it is. It was probably business. Maybe his contract was too big. Who knows? But they brought in Michael Cole, the kid. He was a fucking squinkly mocoso at the time. But it was also the first televised WWF show in New Jersey in nearly a decade because a tax was levied on televised wrestling events in 1989. So this tax was lifted months prior to this show, just to throw that in there. Mankind defeated Hunter Hearst Helmsley in a steel cage match. Goldust defeated Brian Pillman. Now, as a result, Pillman was forced to wear a dress the next night on Raw.
This was the death of Brian Pillman's push in WWF. This was all about the feud between Goldust and his wife with Brian Pillman because they used to be dating for real. And Goldust was pissed. And guess
what?
Man,
I didn't know what was going on at the time, bro. But all I know is that I didn't like it. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
It sucked. Pillman's whole WWF run was fucking garbage. It sucked.
So the Legion of Doom, Hawk and Animal, defeated the Godwins, Henry and Phineas.
What a good pay-per-view.
The British Bulldog defeated Ken Shamrock via DQ to retain the World Wrestling Federation European Championship. European? Who's a peon? I'm a peon. You a peon?
That's horrible. That's shocking because that sounds like a good match, but to end it on a fucking DQ, that's fucking pitiful.
It is what it is.
Was there ever a European that was European champion?
Yeah.
Man, that's a damn good question. I don't know. Was there ever a European who was a European champion?
Wasn't British Bulldog?
No,
British Bulldog was never.
No, he
was never European.
No.
All right, Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated Owen Hart to win the WWF Intercontinental Championship. Now, if Austin had lost this match, he would have had to have kissed Owen Hart's ass.
But this was also the match where Owen Hart gave that devastating pile driver that made him vacate the belt.
This was a story that went down to near the conclusion of the bout, and it was a pile driver.
Yeah.
Which was actually more of Austin's head was exposed than normal.
Yep.
And it ended up with Austin's neck being injured. For about a minute, Austin was actually paralyzed. And after some brief stalling, they immediately went to the finish, which had Austin roll up Hart to win the title. Now, due to the injury, Austin had to vacate the title a month later.
Yeah. Austin even admitted that Owen Hart never apologized for that, what happened.
Yeah, I listened to Austin talking about that this week, actually.
And, yeah, I'll tell you what, man, I never did care for Owen Hart. The Nugget.
Why? He was the better wrestler than Bret Hart.
Nevertheless, I didn't like Bret Hart either.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Hart Foundation. Period.
No, they were overrated.
Even when they were fucking heels, I didn't like them.
Yeah.
So Bret Hart defeated, speaking of the Hart, defeated The Undertaker, no less, to win the WWF Championship. Shawn Michaels was a special referee.
Yeah.
And the pre-match stipulation, if Hart had lost the title, he would be banned from wrestling anywhere in the United States. Now, in addition to this, Christian, if Shawn Michaels' officiating was deemed too biased, he too would be banned from wrestling in the United States. So late in the bout, Michaels hit The Undertaker with a steel chair intended for The Undertaker after Bret Hart spat in Shawn's face. So it was an inadvertent chair.
Oh, but it turns out it wasn't inadvertent because after this, Shawn Michaels turned heel.
Hart took advantage, and Michaels, with that ban looming, was forced to count the fall.
Somehow.
With the win, Hart joined Hulk Hogan as the only 5-time WWF champions in company history.
Somehow.
Christian?
Somehow. This match made Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels both heels. Can you believe that? That's horrible.
That's badass.
That's horrible. Because then the whole Survivor Series match makes
Give
no
it to
sense.
The heels,
because
baby.
The Survivor Series match makes no sense between them because they're both heels, technically. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels are both heels.
Interesting. Guys,
horrible.
Let's go to Albert and Kevier. What do you guys think about this shit? Anything on the card, actually?
I don't
Stone
remember
Cold
seeing
defeating
it.
Austin.
Like, yeah. I remember because I was WCW at the time, man, and I was barely like getting interested in like Stone Cold Steve Austin and stuff a little bit after that. So. But I do remember the match between Owen Hart and, seeing it on video, the match between Owen Hart and Stone Cold. And, it's terrible that Owen never apologized to him. But, I mean, it's wrestling. You know what I mean? But whatever.
It's really weird that Owen did the pile.
What was that, Kevin?
It's weird that Owen did the pile driver like that. Like, I don't know. I guess that's like a move that you see in video games, like doing a pile driver like that. But I don't remember that ever being the way that people did pile drivers, dude. And so, like, it seems super weird that he would do it.
He kind of jumped.
I think it was an inverted pile driver, like it was his own.
Yeah, he was facing him like a tombstone, but instead he went to his butt, and so there's nowhere to tuck your head. It's kind of like AJ's finisher, how if you don't pull your head back, you'll break your neck, you know? So there was nowhere for Steve to put his head.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I always just had this feeling from that he looked like a bitter prick, man, Owen Hart.
Yeah.
To me.
Now I think about it, wait a minute. So the rules for the Shawn Michaels thing, right, if he was biased, then he would be banned?
Yeah.
Okay, so wouldn't technically him swinging the chair at Bret Hart?
I would imagine.
Isn't that biased?
I would imagine so, but like, I think it was, Albert said it's wrestling.
No, it doesn't matter. You set rules. You fucking follow them. Then.
But yeah, I mean, I would imagine, you know, just swinging the chair, regardless of who he fucking hit, I mean, you know, is an act of fucking violence. I mean, come on.
So Sean should have been banned.
But it's wrestling.
It doesn't matter. Follow the rules.
Bret Hart, though, defeated The Undertaker. This is Albert's precious Bret Hart. Defeated The Undertaker to win the WWF Championship. Your thoughts?
You're damn right. And you're damn right. And he should have held that title for the rest of his fucking life. should have rolled WWE until fucking today. And he never would have went to WCW. Never would have had a fucking crazy ass kick from Goldberg. And he would have been fucking on top. There would have been no fucking John Cena, because John Cena would have been a jobber to Bret the Hitman Hart.
He would have been a weightlifter.
The best there is.
He would have stayed a weightlifter.
The best there will be.
Albert, he was a terrible champion, Albert. He didn't draw a fucking dime.
What are you talking about? He had all my dimes.
No.
I had all the fucking action figures.
He
the Bret Hart glasses.
Nobody
I had the leather jacket.
Bret Hart, he fucking drew shitloads of dimes. He put
the reason
seat.
I wear a leather jacket to this day is such a Bret Hart.
No, fucking Undertaker drew a fucking dime. There were a bunch of stars that drew a fucking dime.
All the
fucking
people
dime.
With the fucking pink shirts and the black and pink. And I
fucking
hated
those were plants. Those were fucking
you go,
plants.
No, no, no.
The people were starting to turn
fifth
on
grade.
Them.
Fifth grade, 1998, man, or fourth grade, that era, dude. There was nothing but Bret Hart shirts, DX shirts, and Sting shirts. So tell me he didn't draw a fucking dime.
Yeah.
Oh,
I saw it. Yeah, I don't know what Christian is talking about, but shit. I hated it. I didn't like Bret Hart, period.
That was after he left the company, and they felt sorry for his bum ass for getting screwed.
Right. I was a DX guy. And an NWO guy, until NWO went all fucking crazy and fucking started with fucking all the fucking different WOs and shit. Holy shit.
What else happened in history?
You fucking lose track of that shit.
What else happened in history?
Watchdog keeping the show in line. Let's see. That's it. No, that's it. Fuck
I'll
it.
Give you one in history.
No, wait.
History,
I'm gonna give
it's
you
about
one more. TNA suspended Samoa Joe indefinitely. 11 years ago today.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, who did not appear at the July 26th and 27th Impact tapings, was suspended for an incident at the July 13th tapings. Following a match with Jeff Hardy, Joe went backstage into the production truck, and he yelled at the production team for essentially giving away the finish to the match. The bout scheduled for a 10-minute time limit went on to a time limit draw. But Jeremy Borash, on orders of TNA management, announced in the bout there were 30 seconds remaining. Joe was adamant about not being told how much time remained, saying it would tip the finish. So he was suspended for 3 weeks as a result, and then he returned for the August 23rd tapings of Impact.
This was during the time when the Hogan and Bischoff era began.
Yes.
It was 2010. No, and you wonder why he was pissed. Because they treated him like a fat piece of shit loser. He was a loser during this time. The whole Immortal time. He wasn't even feuding against Immortal. It was mostly fucking Sting, Mr. Anderson, and that's it. Those were the only few people that were feuding with Immortal. Samoa Joe wasn't even involved in that whole shit. You would bet. Because they treated him like a fucking fat loser.
Right on. Yeah, I remember. This is the time. Actually, this is during the time, though. I vividly remember he had one of his best segments ever. To me, it was so memorable when they had kidnapped him and shit.
That wasn't
remember?
Yeah.
They had him fucking somewhere in a fucking basement or some shit, and he had him fucking eaten and dazed. No, wait a minute.
No,
that was the other guy.
No, what happened was, the story was a group of ninjas.
Yeah, that's right. No, that was the other guy.
The reason you're getting confused is because a group of ninjas kidnapped Samoa Joe and a white man, and that was the last time you saw him until he came back.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I knew it had to do with some fucking kidnapping shit.
That's like the most ridiculous shit ever. That's the most ridiculous shit ever. Speaking of ninjas, what the fuck? Never mind. We'll get into ninjas later. But yeah,
TNA, man. Yeah. TNA did this carny shit.
They would do. they would do some oddball shit.
Which is so weird because it was still a serious at the time because the main event Mafia was still around, so it was still serious TNA, and I don't understand it. Like, why would they do that? Why would they write some shit like that? Then
you know
why?
Because Vince Russo was secretly writing for TNA at the time.
And then when he came back, whoa.
Bro, I came up with the idea to have a call full of clowns come out and hit Samoa Joe with rubber chickens and pull him into the clown car and take him off. And then Jarrett says, no, we're going to use a van and some ninjas, and then the ninjas are going to take Samoa Joe. And I said, well, I like my clown car idea better. And so Spike TV fired me again, and I came back secretly, so nobody knew. Thank you, Dixie. I'll see you later.
And then when he came back, he was in worse shape. He got fat. Then when he came back, he came back in worse shape. He got fatter, and he got a stupid tattoo in his face.
Yeah, man.
That wasn't a tattoo.
He had rough...
I know. It's a fake tattoo. Yeah, it was a fake tattoo, but it still looks stupid.
It inspired Louis to get a tattoo.
Oh, yes, Louis.
That was around the time Louis got a tattoo.
Louis, are you listening? You should call in and tell us about your tattoo, Louis.
Yeah, for real. But I digress. Let's see here. So, yeah, that was it. Samoa Joe. Yeah, they were treating him like a fucking piece of shit, man. It was horrible. And you know what? He was so much better than that. But moving on, that's it for the wrestling history, guys. So let's go ahead and take a fucking break. And we'll be right back. We got a lot of news to cover tonight, Christian. So please don't get fucked up about it. But we do have a lot of news. We're going to cut the report short tonight because of that news. But let's move on. We'll be right back after this was on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Homeowner and you're tired of those pricey electric bills, you're not alone. Wrestling fans all over are switching to solar and you can too. It's as simple as going to TexasSolarNow.com and receiving a free consultation plus $25. It's that easy, and not only will you save money and make money, you're going to help save the planet too. You don't even have to live in Texas. You can go to TexasSolarNow.com and an agent will contact you anywhere in the U.S. where service is available. So don't let the power grid fail on your family this year. Make the switch at TexasSolarNow.com, a proud partner of the World Generation Podcast Network.
Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast!
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go, don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy, so future generations can enjoy too.
Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am Resident Heel, Minister of Sinister. I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspected, the Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami Christian from Philly, and we are catching you up on all the latest madness in professional wrestling. And I want to talk about Adam Cole real quick before we get on some of the more juicier stuff, because we've got a lot of juicy shit tonight. But yeah, according to the news, there were a bunch of executives, WWE executives, that were surprised by the news of Adam Cole's contract expiring.
Really?
Now, yeah. Now, Wrestling Inc. and Fightful had reported this. I think it was Wrestling Inc. was the exclusive. And that Cole's contract would be expiring later this month, right? Now, his contract was rumored to expire in 2024. But actually, it's going to expire after SummerSlam. And the deal was actually extended because it was actually going to be done back in July 6th at the Great American Bash. But Cole got it extended, and because he's still doing the Twitch shit and stuff, is what I'm understanding. Now, I'm just getting to know about this guy, and it's amazing. Everybody likes him. He's well-liked by everybody, and we're going to get to a little bit more of that, but apparently the contract expiring situation took a number of WWE executives by surprise, as it was believed he was locked in through at least January 2022. And other rumors have him with the company up until 2024. Now, guys, I mean, just this alone. I mean, how in the bluest of fucking hell are you going to run a fucking company and not know when your fucking talent contracts are expiring? Get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck are these fucking amateurs running this shit?
Stop. Stop it.
Awful.
No, really, Calvert.
Well,
I
tell you this. You know, there. I don't know. I can't speak from an insider perspective, but it just seems from an outsider perspective that it's just a clown show going on back there in the office. But I will tell you this, I know that for a fact that that the networks and are going to be putting pressure on WWE to keep Adam Cole, because even though he's not the biggest star in WWE, I know that they see potential in him, and they're going to want to keep him. They're not going to want him to go to the competition, because you know, they did a call, and I wanted to, we're going to talk about this later, I think, too, but the conference call with Vince McMahon and the investor call. And I like these investor calls because they're kind of like shoot interviews in a way. You know, in fact, they are shoot interviews with Vince McMahon, and you never get a shoot interview with Vince McMahon. And he pretty much said that, oh, AEW is not competition, WWE is in competition with Sleep, and that possibly we can release some more talent to them. In other words, he's doing like what they did back in the day. They're trying to cut budgets, and in my opinion, they're purposely sending house. Guys to AEW and purposely sending guys to Impact to just inflate their budget, dude, and just to make them make it seem like, oh, we're WWE, we're the ones who create the stars. These guys are just wash-ups. Here's our new set of talent that we're going to use for a couple of years and then release them. You know, that's kind of like what they were doing back in the day. But this whole thing with Adam Cole is I'm sure that the networks are pressuring McMahon and the rest of the WWE to keep Adam Cole because they see potential. And because they're, like it or not, WWE may not be in competition with AEW, or so they say. We all know they are. But I guarantee you that that NBC Universal and Fox are in competition with Turner and TNT and TBS, and that's how they look at it. So they're going to put pressure on WWE to start keeping these stars and not letting them go like Bray Wyatt or Adam Cole.
Yeah, but it's failing because Adam Cole has denied every offer that they've thrown at him, every contract offer. He doesn't want to
keep in mind his chick is now with AEW too. So
So why should the talent know?
Like whenever their contract is up, surely these guys know that like it's going to lapse. That nobody said anything to them. Like when it happened to Aleister Black and when it happened to Cole, like was it like? Because you would think that like if they want to say, like, hey, are we gonna sign
Black,
another
bro? And he said that it was a shock to him.
Well, he got let go. I guess with Cole, it's just that they didn't re-sign his contract.
He hasn't done a new contract yet. He's still under contract, but his contract is going to run out.
He doesn't want to re-sign.
Getting back to Albert's deal, where he was talking about the the press conference with the earnings, the Q2 earnings call with the investors. Chris Jericho commented about it, and I thought it was pretty funny. Vince McMahon also, you know, made several comments about it. But Jericho, you know, said, well, what else is he going to say? I mean, you know, how do you respond to that? You know, you're not going to see, we don't see WWE as competition is what he says. You know, he said they've never seen them as competition, that they're just doing their own thing.
Well, it's
kind of like what you're saying. They're throwing all the talent to them and shit, and they're picking and choosing who they want. But at the same time, they're increasing their budget big time. So Turner has been through this shit again. Been through this shit before. So do you think that he's going to handle it better this time? I would believe that he would.
They're trying to increase ratings. It's like a proxy war between AEW and WWE. And ultimately, like, what it comes down to is, like, okay, when Fox signed SmackDown, when USA or NBC Universal, you know, signed them for Peacock and Monday Night Raw and USA and all this stuff too, NBC Universal and Fox believed at the time that they were getting the top wrestling company in the world. Now that Turner is looking like they're going to have the top wrestling company in the world with all the talent, I'm assuming that Fox and NBC are not very happy with WWE right now because of how they're dealing with stuff. So it's not a matter of like WWE like wanting to do, you know, wanting to just fucking, you know, I guess decrease their budget or decrease their salaries or whatever. They're going to get pressured. They're going to get pressured on to keep talent. They're going to get pressured on to make more stars, and they're going to have, it's going to be more pressure on them to just create compelling and better storylines. And so that's where that's going to come from. It's not going to be that AEW is doing this. It's going to be like the networks are like, hey, AEW is doing this. You guys need to be doing this.
Think they're going to start blading? You think they're going to start blading on WWE and shit?
Budget cuts are bullshit.
I think so. I think we're going to see some big changes in the next couple of years.
We've seen blood. We've seen brutality in the last few weeks. We've seen them beat the shit out of people with chairs in the last few weeks on WWE.
We have. It's been excessive. It's been a bit more excessive than what it had been up until here recently. You're absolutely right, Kevin. Absolutely right.
The budget cuts is bullshit.
Here's what Chris Jericho said, though. He said, we're not worried about what WWE is, and we haven't been since day one. We weren't worried about what NXT did the whole time with the NXT versus AEW war, which ended in a total abysmal failure for NXT. We never once had a TV screen watching what they were doing and what we were doing. We didn't know what segments they were in. We didn't know any of that. Now, the WWE way is you're watching what the competition is doing when they were on. We didn't do that. And it was no disrespect. We just didn't care. We were too busy worrying about our own company, about our own stories, about our own show to care what anybody else is doing. And that's one of the reasons why we did so well. And we were concentrating on AEW, not anything else. It sounds like these guys have a fucking great model that they're following.
Yeah, and guess what? Let me explain something right now, right? If WWE really doesn't care and don't think AEW is a competition, then why the fuck did you do the Rolling Loud concert on SmackDown? Why did you bring back John Cena and Goldberg for SummerSlam? Why did you bring back
Well, they were going to bring back John Cena and Goldberg regardless, because they always do that. That's their formula that's worked with from day one, and they're going to continue to do that.
It sucks. The Rolling
Loud
was a fucking failure. The Rolling Loud was a fucking failure. That fucking sucks. The returns are fucking failures. They suck.
Jericho goes on to say, bro, he says, we could not control the fact that NXT was put up against us. We couldn't control that if, you know, there's a Beatles reunion put up against it, you know, whatever. We can't control that. But all we can control is our own show and the quality of show we put on. And, I mean, you know, words have never rang so fucking true.
They're the
and that's the business model that these guys are following, and I'm all about it. He goes on to say, we've worked very hard to improve the things that need improving and to focus on the things that were doing great. I think that's one of the reasons why we've gone as far as we have and why our demos have crept to where they are. And our ratings have crept up to where they are. So WWE is not competition for us. We're competition for ourselves. So for Vince to say that to me, it's probably reverse psychology and that he does see us as competition. But deep down inside, what does it really matter?
Dude, if they're not competition, how the fuck did they sold Chicago out 5 minutes later in the United Center? They sold out 5 minutes. Your fucking shows barely sold out in pay-per-views or fucking Raw or SmackDown. Don't tell me they're not fucking competition.
He goes
if
on
it
to
goes
say,
down,
Kevin?
If it goes down that it's like a war for real, like if it ends up being competition for real between these two companies and WWE inevitably loses against AEW, it's like their own fault, man. It's like Vince did this
yes.
to himself. He created
Which
it all.
Saying it.
And it eventually swallowed him up.
Yeah. And then we're gonna have the fucking wars again because they're gonna get desperate again. So yeah, it's gonna happen, you watch. But he goes on to say Chris Jericho, who by the way, you know, I was talking about his weight and shit, but you know, this guy, he's still the fucking god. He's still a fucking god. I have tremendous respect for him. Especially when I read this shit. And Albert, this pertains to what you were talking about earlier. He goes on to say, the WWE is a WWE, and they have billions of dollars locked in TV deals, and we are working towards that. Now, when our demo ends up beating theirs, and TV deals start coming in for us at the billions, then I truly think there will be a lot of competition, because now you're fighting for money. You're not just fighting for bragging rights. And bragging rights don't mean anything. It's the money that you make from it that counts. So we'll
You're
see
right.
what happens.
You're right.
That's what he said. So
and
we'll see what happens.
Think about this. It's another thing. It's like, okay, back in the day, WWF swallowed up all the territories. They swallowed up WCW. They swallowed up ECW. They swallowed up all those territories in the 80s. So now they have this video library, right? Okay, that's cool. Everybody's seen all that shit, you know, 100,000 times. They can go back on YouTube and watch specific parts of that anytime they want to. AEW, on the other hand, is having a working relationship with Impact, New Japan, NWA, all these companies. And so now, like, instead of like, oh, we're going to buy all these companies, they're working with these companies. I'm sure if one of them goes bankrupt, they're going to, you know, they could, you know, bring in the assets, but they're not going to go actively fucking buying these companies. You know what I mean? But now they have a working relationship with all these companies. They can create their own network now and have access to thousands and thousands of hours of indie wrestling of
yes.
all these different companies,
and
dude, that's going to kick their asses.
Great point.
Like, I guarantee you, that's in the works right now. AEW is going to have their own network, their own app, and it's going to fucking have hours and hours of content.
For the last 2 weeks, hold on. I've been thinking about this for the last 2 weeks, and I just, you know, get here and start drinking, and we start going with the flow, and then I forget to fucking bring it up. But yes, what network are they going to be on? Because I want to fucking stream their pay-per-views for $10 a month, the way I do the fucking WWE on the cock. You know, whether they jump to Universal or whether fucking TNT does his own shit or whatever. But, you know, I'm excited.
Well, Chuck, you say that.
I believe it's going to
happen. You say that, but there's a super loss of content once the network came out. The quality of content went down. Once people stopped having to pay for pay-per-views like that, and, like, it's just subscribers per month. Like, I don't think that's the answer. I'd much rather pay for pay-per-views and get good wrestling than just have a monthly subscription to something I can watch, you know, that's mediocre or whatever. I think you should give companies your money if you support them. So there's nothing wrong with doing pay-per-views and making it, you know, how AEW is, like a big fight feel or whatever they call it, you know, because WWE doesn't have that. That's because their pay-per-views are just another TV show.
And you know what? That's a great point, too, because that's a great point, too, because you know what? As of late, it seems, and I mean, this is like as of late for a good while now, the pay-per-views are fucking shit. Where, you know, the show after the pay-per-view is what counts. That's a great point.
They just have it all spread so thin. It's not concentrated.
Would AEW want to go that route? And, you know, of course, we'll have to find out because, you know, they all listen. So. But I digress. Shit, moving. That was some good shit, guys. Shit. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. We got off on the Adam Cole contract situation and then moved on to that. But, yeah, the whole Adam Cole contract situation just goes to me. It goes to show what a fucking clusterfuck, like Albert said, what a bunch of clowns they got in the background working over there. To not know when the man's contract expires, I mean, come on. It's crazy. It's crazy. The big news that just came out was, of course, Bray Wyatt first.
Yeah, getting fired.
And then Ric Flair second. And it's like, wow, here we are again with, you know, other high profile, I'm not going to say top stars, you know, because anytime I use the word top star, Kristen is quick to shoot it down. But to me, these guys are top stars. They're high on the bill when they come out. They get TV time, you know, maybe not all the time for Ric Flair.
What do you mean I'm quick to shoot them down? What are you talking about?
When I say that if I say that Bray Wyatt is a top star.
He is a top star. And that's why they're fucking
he's
idiots.
He's a top jobber to the stars.
The guy.
He's been a top jobber to the stars his whole fucking career. It's a good, to me, it's a blessing that he got fired.
It is
so
a blessing.
He can go and do some other things.
It is a blessing, but not when he doesn't know out of nowhere. Because he didn't know he was going to get fired. He got fired out of nowhere. And don't tell me it's budget cuts
because that's
a fucking lie. Don't tell me it's budget cuts because that's a fucking lie. If it's budget cuts, why are you paying fucking Goldberg, like people like Goldberg, millions of fucking dollars in fucking shit? Don't fucking tell me budget cuts.
Kevin,
fucking bullshit.
Hear me out. What were you saying?
How does it feel to be a little kid who wants to be a wrestler when you grow up and you want to work for WWE? And you go, I was watching, you know, I'm watching Karrion Kross this week and thinking this. And it pertains to Bray, too, though. You know, you're raised in it your whole life. You're like, I'm going to be a wrestler. Okay. You go to work for the dream company. You get the dream gimmick. And they flush it all down the toilet. Dude. They just take your dreams, and they're like, okay, yeah, no, you get – it's like the monkey's paw or something. There's like a story that – you know what I mean? It's like you get your wish, but you get the shitty-ass version of it. And it fucking sucks because that's how I view every superstar. Everybody that's a pro wrestler, like I imagine that they all have a love for this shit. And then to go to the top at WWE and to have it happen like this to them is bullshit.
But the one thing that pissed me off, right?
They don't owe them anything. WWE doesn't owe anybody anything. So I can't be that mad about it. You know what I mean? But I am fucking mad about it. It sucks.
It's one of how they handled
Cross.
But one person on Twitter, which I shared on the text before the show, said something about this on Twitter. And that's the former World Women's Champion, Ronda Rousey, everybody. And guess what she says about all this, right? I've seen you same fans chanting, "We want Wyatt," last night, chanting, "We want Beach Balls" over Bray Wyatt performing. If the WWE treated him like he was expendable, it was because you ungrateful fans did it first.
But I remember that.
Are you kidding me? We did it first.
I remember that. She was calling out the hypocrite fans. I remember that happening.
No, she just texted. She just tweeted
today. She just tweeted that, but she said something before about Beach Balls, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Or she's talked shit about the fans before?
First of all, idiot. First of all, Ronda, you idiot. The only reason why people were telling we want Beach Balls is because the way he was booked. It's not because of the wrestler himself, you idiot. So don't say the fans are the reason why he was expendable and that's why he got fired. She's basically blaming the fans of him getting fired.
Now, when you put it like that.
I've been there. I've been there when the crowd starts getting themselves over, dude. I've been at WWE events when people start chanting stupid
ass
chants.
She's blaming the fans.
I think that's all it is. I think Ronda, if anything, dude, I'm fucking ready for Ronda to come back, honestly.
No, I don't want her to come back. Sounds like you hate her.
If she's already getting heat for like her return as a super heel, dude, I'm all for that.
I don't want her to come back.
Sorry about that, Christian. But you don't get
to
decide
that.
Sorry about your damn look, man.
Unfortunately, she knows people don't want her back. I thought she was badass when she was. I thought her run.
Hey, you know what?
It's one of my favorite celebrity runs.
She's great, but you know what? It seems like she has a little resentment towards the fans a little bit. Weren't they starting to boo her?
She has a huge chip on her shoulder.
Yeah, from the fans that she
did
get.
The same
I mean,
thing
she
to
did
her
when
too,
she
though.
First.
They
did,
the
and,
to
and
her
she
too.
she took it very very seriously, and
I remember
and,
that.
And of course it's wrestling, but she took it very very seriously, and so she still has that. Fucking, she has that you know, like you said, chip on her shoulder. But going back to what Kevin was saying about it being your dream job to go to the WWE, which is the WWF or whatever, that dream's completely dead right now. When people have like a pipe dream of, oh, I'm going to become a wrestler, I'm going to become a WWE champion, and I'm going to make it to WrestleMania. Yeah, those are dreams that people, that every wrestler had. But those are dreams that they had from, like, fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Bret Hart, you know, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. Like, all those guys, like, those are the ones they're aspiring to be. You know what I mean?
Maybe
like, they're not trying to aspire
like
to be.
Absence, yeah.
Yeah,
let's
and so,
get
like,
to that
you know, nobody. No,
moment.
As much as you know, people love and respect Bray Wyatt, they're not aspiring to be Bray Wyatt in the WWE anymore. Because of what happened to him. And so the dream is completely dead. But I'm sorry, Minister, go ahead.
No, let's touch on that Karrion Kross moment. I mean, what the hell? They brought him in, loses his first match, wins his second match, already loses his third match again. He went from being the fucking NXT god.
It's a fucking shame. And they got him doing dumbass promos, too. He's back there holding an hourglass like he's not. His promos are stupid, too. Him and Damian Priest are, like, equal level, and I really hate – y'all saw me in the thread talking shit about Damian Priest. Don't get me started. But anyways, no, Cross is a perfect example of how you fucking ruin something.
It's terrible.
I like how cynical
– this guy. I never saw him, dude. I'm pissed.
I like how cynical Kevin got recently. I like how cynical he got recently over WWE.
Yeah, and what it is because, you know, like I said, when I'm watching Cross, I'm like, this guy looks like $1 million. This guy's a good wrestler, a really good wrestler, and he's got the look, and he's Triple H's guy. He's got the blessing and all this stuff, and, like, he did a great job in NXT. He was injured, came back, et cetera. It goes on. He deserves, like, and he's been fighting for this thing. And it's just really weird that they would squander it, like, that you only get one chance to really debut. Like, they can redo it, and they've done it. But,
and
like,
they squandered it.
This is your one chance to make this guy, like, you know, he's not a huge guy, but he's a big guy. He's going to be a main event wrestler in 5 years, like, forever, if you did it right.
Bro, and don't you think that fucking looking on from the background is Adam Cole?
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know shit about him. Look what they're gonna do.
They talk about him like he's a fucking great guy and shit on NXT.
Before Adam Cole got into WWE, he was one of the hugest names in indie wrestling in a long time. Him, Prince Devitt, and Kenny Omega were playing the three, and Kevin Owens.
He was with the Bullet Club.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, Adam
the
Cole
only
was
triple
huge.
Triple
and
ROH
for them
champion.
To not even put
the
him on TV on the main show already, he should have been on a main show a long fucking time ago. And been booked as, you know, like everybody sees him as like this new kind of Shawn Michaels type little shithead. But like,
he was on the main show for the Survivor Series angle. It was pointless matches. It was like Daniel Bryan versus Adam Cole.
Getting back to my question, what do you think? Do you think he's sitting back there saying, shit, man, I don't want to go to the fucking main roster? That's where careers go to die.
The writing's on the wall.
No, it's a demotion. It's a demotion.
Already,
look what they did.
Christian's been saying all along. It's a demotion. God
already,
damn it, Christian. Let me get on my fucking
Finn
hands.
Finn has come back for NXT, and already damage has been done to Finn's character already. Like, Finn is involved in this middle of this shit.
Yeah,
and he was gone, and it rebuilt him, and now he's back, and they fucking chopped him down again already.
Yeah, that segment last week, that contract segment was the stupidest shit ever. That's how you fucking booked John Cena versus Roman. You make Finn Balor look like a schmuck. Baron Corbin look like a schmuck. You made John Cena look like an asshole. And then you made Roman Reigns look.
These guys are different than like Cross. All these guys that we're talking about, the indie darlings, like they deserve it. They were over before WWE. There was a reason WWE signed these guys. Why the fuck are you spending your money on this if you're gonna just flush it down the toilet?
And why are you spending money hiring useless people like Eva Marie, who has nothing to do with the business, who adds nothing to the fucking business? She's useless.
Now, that's where I'm torn. If we want to talk about the Eva Marie and Alexa stuff going on, too, I don't want to get to a fall track. But I think certain signings like that are good for a wrestling company. You need just like more personality, just like really, you know, and like a pretty face and stuff like that. They've done that forever. And she is playing more of a manager than a wrestler role kind of too. So that makes sense. I don't think even Marie's bad for business. I think it's really funny. And I think that there's a lot of opportunities for like good shit with her in the company, but I don't know. We'll see how they go. I'm still a fan of Alexa too. I haven't shit out on Alexa or Eva or Doudrop. Like that's all the women are like really the main thing that I like going on in the show right now. Actually, I like everything going on that the females are involved in.
Not on Raw side. The Raw women's division is fucking trash.
Well, Ronda Rousey was not the only one who responded or who commented on the release of Bray Wyatt. Cody Rhodes also commented. He gave lengthy comment, too. lengthy comment. But in the end, he went on to say, you know, and he's over here, and this is what I didn't like about it. I read the whole fucking article. And by the way, thanks to Mark Middleton. I'm sorry. The previous article was thanks to Mark Middleton, by the way. And this article is thanks to Jason Allen Prasad on Wrestling Inc. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I'm fucking up that last name. But go check it out on Wrestling Inc. And it's in the end, basically, I didn't like what Cody Rhodes said because, you know, basically he's saying that he can't talk and shit. He, like, I can't speak out on this. Motherfucker, you're a vice president. Get the fuck out of here that you can't speak out on this shit. Everything that you say is on the record because you are a vice president. So I don't know, you know, I guess that's what happens when you just get placed as a vice president, you know, and you really didn't fucking, you know, work your way up to a vice president. Because, you know, I mean, fuck, a vice president is obviously, when you're making a statement, you're speaking on behalf of the company. So he's over here fucking, and I didn't like about that about the interview, but I digress. Anyway, no. He did say a lot of shit, though, and it was cool. But in the end, he said that he never would have thought that Matt Cardona was going to end up being GCW champion and getting pelted with trash. But I should have never thought he'd be doing something. He would be doing something. But I should, he said, but I should have thought he would be doing something. And to circle back to Bray, because he had a lot of things to say about Bray, he went on to say, I can't comment on if he fits in with us. But I can say, if he has an ounce of passion for this, that guy can fit in anywhere because he's a very special, special talent. That's really all I could say there. But before that, he went on to say all kinds of shit.
So,
and the article
you know
had
why,
it all, dude.
Do you know why he might not have spoke out that much about the issue? There's like a conspiracy going on about Bray's firing too. Christian, do you know about like the pizza or the Domino's conspiracy?
What?
Domino's gate with WWE?
The fucking WWE is so fucking petty. They fucking smeared. It was a smear campaign. They're the ones who send the Domino's pizzas out of the commercials to fucking ruin AEW and the whole controversy. They were the ones who did the whole Domino's pizza commercial.
Did you see that joke with the Domino's issue on AEW? Did you see that story?
No. What are you guys talking about? I have no idea.
Okay, no, yeah.
You saw, Domino's, I saw it live, and it was... It was fucking hilarious when I saw it.
It's fucking funny.
Did they plan this?
So what happened, it was not planned. It was like during the Nick Gage and Jericho match, Nick Gage uses a pizza cutter in his matches. And he goes...
Oh, yeah, okay,
I saw that.
And they were running a fucking... The side footage...
Domino's commercial happens.
Yeah. Okay, so
and
what was
that was like purely coincidence. Purely coincidence. And then articles start coming out. These articles came out about... it happening or whatever, and I guess what happened is WWE like paid, like it ended up. I don't have the article in front of me, but it's like people traced back to who like had these articles written, and it's like traced back to WWE that like they had writers write these stories about this issue on AEW happening, and they lost their Domino sponsorship. And,
oh my god.
So this news came out.
WWE
like
lost their sponsorship from Domino's as a result.
AEW was on Wednesday. So like this happened on like Thursday. Like on Thursday this all happened where they lost their Domino's sponsorship. And then
No.
Bray,
AEW, Chuck. AEW lost their sponsorship because of WWE from Domino's.
They put a smear campaign out on AEW. Like, and it's like I don't think it's like 100% confirmed, but I know that I've read two different articles
like a bunch
really
of
talking
fucking
about
Democrats.
Fuck no, no, we're not doing
they,
that.
So they put a smear campaign out on AEW, and so then Bray gets fired, like on Saturday or something, I think.
Wow.
And they're saying that the reason that they fired Bray. The conspiracy theorists are saying that they fired Bray to distract everybody from the fact that people were catching on that they were doing a smear campaign on AEW. So it's like a sideswipe.
And
they pulled
it could
a Trump
be
on
because,
them where they're like, let's drop another story. If I may use your political
the media will
vernacular.
Keep you from things by manipulating shit. I mean, it very well could be. I mean, I see it all the time. They
so
another story
they
comes
think
up.
These people
right
think they
the
fired Ray just to distract everybody from this.
I mean, you know.
So you think
it could be?
So they didn't fire Bray Wyatt, or they did fire Bray Wyatt? Think. Like,
they did fire.
Like,
no,
is it like
I'm saying? The conspiracy is that WWE fired Bray so that the story about Bray getting fired would be bigger than the AEW
yeah.
Domino's story, and so that it would overshadow that story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop talking about the Domino's thing and just talk
right.
about Bray. That would be the big story.
Oh,
well,
that's
stupid. That's stupid. But that's stupid because either way, WWE is going to get bad press anyway. So that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Well,
I just remember reading this and like the timing of everything. I was like, what?
Idiots, man. Fucking goons. Companies.
I don't know.
Well, there's a bunch of.
I said it was a conspiracy theory. I don't believe it to be true. I just read a bunch of people saying that, like drawing these.
It's
drawing
news
these,
that Mark Littleton brought to us was that there was more backstage news on Bray Wyatt and the release and shit. Apparently, the TV partners are very frustrated over the release of Bray Wyatt. In an update,
you know why?
There was said to be a lot of frustration from the networks.
You want to know why?
Of course, presumably NBC, Universal, USA, and Fox. Yeah, they're getting rid of the fucking characters.
You want to know why they're frustrated? It's because the motherfucker was the best merch seller they had in a while.
Yeah.
He was the best merch seller. And they fucking fired him.
It's also said that it's also a little scary to the top stars that are being let go. You know, like, it's a little scary that top stars are being let go. Also,
hell,
just like that.
Hell, if the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised if Randy Orton would be fucking fired next.
Check it out, Dave.
He did just sign a 5-year contract. I did see
that. He did. He did. He recently signed
matter.
A 5-year, but they could still
matter.
Fire
they
him,
could
though.
Change that shit. It doesn't matter.
But
they could change that shit anyway.
Tremendous, tremendous relationship with Cody Rhodes. So he'd be in AEW in a heartbeat. But it was also previously reported, according to Mark Middleton, that Wyatt had been advertised to make his return at the August 9th Raw in Orlando. So, that's also fucked up right there. Now, of course, this all comes after, you know, it was reported last week that WWE's TV partners were not happy with CM Punk reportedly going to AEW. I read about that as well, too. They were also pissed off that Daniel Bryan, you know, was signing with AEW. So, yeah, they're already feeling this heat. And you
he's
know
a
what?
B-plus player.
I'm glad. Because, fuck, man. They owe me better than this shit. They fucking owe me better than this shit. Better than the shit I'm fucking getting. WWE. And I'm not talking about the talent. Because the talent is fully capable of doing whatever. I'm talking about WWE and the way they fucking micromanage everything. All the fucking interviews on TV. And everything is fucking micromanaging shit. It's a bunch of fucking horseshit.
They're in too deep. If they tried to go back to how things were and like simplify things, they would have to let go a bunch of people. They have all these in-betweeners now. They have all these other jobs and titles and stuff. And they have let a lot of those people go too. They did fire a bunch of the backstage personality people or whatever, backstage people. But,
now one man.
Yeah.
Now one man is enough. Go ahead.
It's like what was happening in, like, 94, you know, 94, 95, where it's like everybody, like, all the top stars had jumped ship to WCW already, you know? And you know, even some of the newer stars, like Hall and Nash, were 96-ish, were going over to WCW, and they were kicking ass, you know what I mean? And it seems like Vince McMahon's way of thinking, and this is just a theory, I'm not saying, you know, it's fact or whatever, but it's just a theory of mine that it's like he's thinking – the same thing. He's like, well, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to take all these new guys, I'm going to make stars out of them, and I'm going to have a new Stone Cold Steve Austin and a new Rock in a couple of years anyway, so it doesn't matter. Bye-bye, Bray. See you guys. See you later, old man Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole thing, and then maybe they'll start having like that those little commercials like they had with the Nacho Man and the Hulk Hogan guy and the old Mean Gene guy,
no.
Like the, those type of shit.
I don't want
to. And
they,
they're gonna start fucking playing that AEW's the home to the fucking has-beens,
no.
Even though you know
no.
AEW
Hell
has
no.
a better
what do you think
product.
A guy,
I'm fucking watching.
What do you think a guy like Edge thinks, like coming back into this? And, like, how different it is, how all the ways we've described it now. Like, what do you think it's like for Edge coming back? And, like, do you think he's totally, what's the word, like he's blinded by just him working hard on his return? He doesn't care about
I'm thinking he's back behind the scenes calling Cody Rhodes, like, legit.
He's trying to get people over.
I think
he's trying to make stuff look good, I guess. That's all they can do.
I think that's
put Edge. They're about to put Edge out to pasture, man. And I think that's what he's thinking. They're gonna Macho Man Edge so hard, and they're gonna Macho Man Randy. They're gonna Macho Man Randy Orton. They're gonna Macho Man all their top stars. Even Cena.
Yeah,
I can see it. They're gonna fucking stop using him.
Look at
this. Where the fuck is Randy Orton? He was supposed to be scheduled to return last night, and he didn't. Last night was supposed to be him returning. And he didn't. He didn't come back. What the fuck is he?
I guarantee you, dude. They're putting pressure. Not putting pressure, but they're gonna start misusing Randy. They're gonna start, you know, putting these guys out the pasture and be like, well, Randy, roll Edge. If you don't like it, go to AEW, and that's what they're gonna do. And then they're gonna say, oh, AEW, like I said, takes all our old fucking washed up has-beens, you know, just like WCW did in the 90s. And but we're gonna have the new generation, so don't worry about that, folks. And I don't think it's gonna work out the same. I really don't.
Not one man is gonna fucking save a company. I don't give a fuck about Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is not good enough to save a fucking company, all
right?
Because you're already treating your treble chief like a schmuck when he just sits there in the fucking contract table. Not even fucking doing anything to stop Cena from signing the fucking contract. So already the treble bitch looks stupid. He looks like a stupid schmuck.
Here's where they fucked up with Roman, where they didn't, what they did with The Rock and Steve and everybody. Roman does like very little. We never see like them doing TV spots. We never see them going and being on talk shows or morning shows or just anything like this. So like, even if he's a heel champion, but that's how you get. Like, if you want to sell lunchboxes
anybody
and
over.
Shit like this and toys, put the guy on other shows, not just WWE. Like,
put the guy.
And he's a lovable guy. Like, Joe Analyze is a cool dude, and he's like, he's gonna become a movie star. We've already said that on the show before. Like, he's gonna be in movies. Face it. So
they're NBC Universal.
Why don't they pull the trigger on shit like that and have like a bigger feel just because these people are more popular?
Yep.
All
Why don't they do
need
that?
To be on more TV shows and be on, like, they need to promote outside of WWE.
That's right. And we're talking about the failures of WWE and what the hell is going wrong with them. If you care to join us, at 619-924-0815, we'll go ahead and take a break and we'll come back. And we've got more shit to talk about, believe it or not. There's still more. So we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Generation
Podcast Network. Stay tuned. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. You're on the air with Beta Boy Radio. What's going on?
So Roman Reigns doesn't need anything. All of y'all are just haters because he just needs less clothes.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute.
I've been listening for a while. I am calling from America.
And what was this, the comment on Roman Reigns?
That he needs less clothes to
like
him.
Like Randy Orton and
Randy
Orton.
There's a couple of guys like this.
No, wait,
he can do anything.
Wear this speedo. It looks like they're naked out there. I'm
no,
like,
wait a minute.
Guys,
she brings up a valid point, guys. Just last week, actually, we were talking about Alexa Bliss and how some asshole was fucking comparing her ass from her NXT days. And then this week, Alexa Bliss debuted a new outfit that she was showing her ass cheek there, guys.
Kind of like a fucking
ass
cheek. Yeah.
Holler, what did you think about the Alexa Bliss, the new outfit? Should she be showing more skin as well?
Everyone should show more skin.
Yes.
Everyone should show more skin. On Fatal 4-Way Radio.
So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amont, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news. Podcast Network. I have the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, here with retro punk rocker Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Having a great conversation, guys. That includes also in the news, Rey freaking Mysterio. Oh my god. The ball. The balls on this fan. Tell us about it, Christian.
What? The news about the whole fan trespassing his home?
Yeah.
Asking for a stupid autograph? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, a stupid fan, you know, decided to do what any stupid fans would do, trespass somebody's property, you know, ignoring common courtesy. To go to Rey Mysterio's house, ask him an autograph. I don't care who you think you are, right? I don't even care if you're a fan. You're trespassing a private property, and that's illegal. I hope you got your ass kicked. I'm sorry, bro.
I mean, really, how the fuck did he get in there? You know that Rey Mysterio lives in a gated community where there's a guy there at the fucking gate. Come on. He has to. There's no way he doesn't. I've seen his mansion on MTV. Maybe it was somebody that lived in the neighborhood, huh? Right?
Maybe he climbed over the gate.
That's pretty fucked up. Yeah, it's definitely over the line. It's some shit that makes us wrestling fans look bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Rey Mysterio. Damn. Getting back to the whole fucking Bray Wyatt thing. I guess I can kill that Rey Mysterio music. Eric Bischoff
can use
chimed
in. You can use the Bray Wyatt. I'm sorry, the Rey Mysterio theme when you say the name the number to the podcast.
619.
Never
mind. 619-924-0815. Eric Bischoff says, I have no idea what Bray's motivations are, state of mind is. I couldn't even begin to answer that. The fact that they let him go was surprising to me in a lot of ways because he's a very talented, very, very talented guy. And Cody Rhodes also said this. He gets it in the big picture from a storytelling and character perspective. This is not a guy pretending to be a wrestler. This is a guy who gets it and has demonstrated that. So that surprised me. He goes on to say, I find it ironic that 6 or 8 months ago, people were thinking, oh, man, Vince McMahon is afraid to let anybody go. He's afraid of AEW, Bischoff said. For God's sake, he's like feeding people to AEW. I have no instinct on this. I have no gut feel on this, but I'm fascinated with the fact that AEW is willing to not just let talent go, let marquee talent go, with a high level of equity amongst wrestling fans at the point where AEW is making such solid progress. They got momentum in their corner now. I sent Tony Khan a text the other day and said, hey, man, I love watching your growth. When AEW launched, they had momentum. And things kind of slowed down. They opened up with 1.4 million viewers, and then they dropped down. Now, they're breaking a million. Now, they're bringing in some big names. Once you create momentum over a long enough period of time, it's almost impossible to fuck it up. It can be done, but man, you become somewhat bulletproof because that momentum behind you allows fans to look the other way when they see something they don't like or a decision they don't understand. They're willing to look the other way because they've got something else to focus on, and that's how you maintain momentum, by positioning yourself that way. It's very difficult to do. It's not an easy task, but AEW has done it. They're on a roll now, and what a weird time to release a talent like Bray Wyatt that has so much freaking equity with the audience and allow him to be in a position to go to AEW. That is a phenomenally interesting scenario to me. Makes me wonder what is going on behind the scenes in AEW, in WWE. I'm just fascinated. It's another interesting time to be interested in the business of wrestling business. That's Eric Bischoff. And yeah, it's a very interesting time to be a fucking fan, like what I was saying earlier. Wow. He concurred with what I said earlier, but obviously he did it earlier. Hey, anyway, he goes on to say, I know listeners are probably disappointed that I don't watch certain things or don't have an opinion for certain things that happen on TV every week. Fear not, for I am more interested than ever in the business of wrestling business because I don't think it's been this interesting in a long time, says Eric Bischoff. By the way, thanks to Wrestling Inc. for this. Wow.
Oh, that's sorry. Sorry, I was on mute. Word. Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, what's going on with them? And I see Eric Bischoff's concern there. Like, he's exactly right. He said it, like, you know, why would you release a talent that was so hot? Like,
because
literally at the top of their game and just let them go. Like, it makes more sense. And I've been, you know, I guess we were kind of answering that question earlier. It's like, you know, it's like almost like Vince McMahon just wants him to go to AEW. Like, if he wants him to go. And for whatever reason.
It's because Eric Bischoff is realizing history is repeating itself. You know, WWE has officially become WCW.
Yeah, and that's why all of a sudden his ears are pointed up again, and he's become.
Or did they become? They're kind of becoming a hybrid of WCW and a hybrid of TNA, and more so of incarnation of themselves in the early to mid 90s.
Yeah.
Lots of news this week, man. It's the state of the WWE, and it's basically all WWE news that we've had.
Nothing good, nothing positive.
I know, right? It seems like it's, man, they do have a bunch of clowns over there running
especially
the show.
Especially last night's show, which got hijacked.
Oh, yeah. They hijacked the shit out of it. They were talking, you know, during the promo. It was awkward to watch Priest. He experienced it for the first time, and it was obvious. He laughed. He broke out of character and fucking laughed. Laughed with the audience.
The audience
it
was
almost like he sympathized with the audience. He was fucking laughing when they were chanting, "We want the CM Punk," or whatever the hell.
Especially during the Drew McIntyre entrance, you know, everybody thought Drew McIntyre was getting a very good ovation. But then if you listen very clearly, you can hear Michael Cole saying 16 times, as in the piped-in audio crowd where Michael Cole was introducing Ric Flair.
That was actually explained. That was actually explained. And it was explained that it was a production error.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two things running at the same time or some shit. Because and there was no audience behind Cole saying that because it was from a promo that doesn't involve audience. So that was explained.
The pipe noises throughout the entire show.
But that doesn't...
Fucking...
But they also, hijacked it with... Well, obviously, that segment. And
he's
the
16-time World Heavyweight Champion. You're looking at Ric Flair, John Cena, all that. Oh, I'm sorry. We were having audio issues there. My bad. We were Fatal 4-Way was having...
The Bobby Lashley issue.
We're playing the wrong thing.
And Goldberg also got hijacked.
Yeah, he got booed. Goldberg got fucking booed.
Not only that, they were asking for not CM Punk, but
Wyatt.
The other guy.
They were asking Wyatt.
Yeah. They were asking for Wyatt.
And not only that the fucking not only that, Charlotte and Nikki Cross, the whole thing, fucking Charlotte segment, we want Becky chance again. Because they're sick of Charlotte at this point.
Yeah.
And then you can hear the crowd boo Nikki Cross backstage. They were booing her too. And then the main event segment, right, which... It was a no-holds-barred match between Nikki Cross and Charlotte. They were fucking... They were sick of it. They didn't give a fuck about this match until, like, the end towards the match. The fucking crowds were chanting CM Punk, we want Wyatt, Becky, we want Becky. Because they're sick of this shit. They're already sick of Nikki Cross's gimmick. And the whole no-holds-barred thing... What was the no-holds-barred about it? The only thing that was exciting was Nikki Cross getting powerbombed through the announcer's table. There was nothing extreme about that fucking match. That match sucked.
The revolution is here, my friend. We're in the midst of a wrestling revolution. Whether anybody wants to say it or not, it's here. I'm saying it.
Like, what the fuck? What the fuck's the point of the live crowds then if they're still using fake crowd chants?
Could it be that Vince McMahon has now finally gone senile, like for real?
Yes, honestly. So, like, what the fuck does he still think we're in the Thunderdome?
What motivates this shit?
Where the hell have you been?
Why is he still fucking using fake? What? Yeah, like, why is he still using fake crowd noises? The crowd's back. Like, what the fuck's the point of the crowd then?
Oh, shit. But yeah,
it's the most fake-ass company ever. This is the most fakest wrestling company I've ever seen in my life.
Pretty soon they're going to have, like, CGI audience, not like the Thunderdome. They're going to have, like, CGI fucking people in there. Kind of like the WWE 2K whatever
crazy
games, you know, they're going to have
an avatar.
Like, but they're with, yeah, like.
That'd be cool. Yeah, no, yeah, like, I've said that before, that they're going to have just, like, a 3D wrestler, like, it's going to be like watching a video game.
Oh, dude, okay. I was looking something up. This is kind of off subject, but a little bit on subject. Do you guys remember a WCW CD-ROM that they were distributing in the late 90s? And it was like a CD, like a mail-in package, and you would get like a CD, and on the CD would be like two or three matches, and the matches were in like some like weird like 3D fucking world, you know, with like Mortal Kombat type like deaths and fatalities and stuff. Does that ring a bell to anybody here?
No.
Not at all.
WCW?
Not at all. But I'm for sure you're going to tell us all about it.
Well, it's just a little thing, it was like a mail-in thing from like WCW Magazine, and I didn't know about this until about like maybe a few years ago, and apparently there's some footage of this on YouTube, and it's like a ring, and the ring is like surrounded by like a green screen, and wrestlers would go in there and wrestle, and then like they would throw them out of the ring, and it'd be like a fire pit or something crazy like that. And the last time I saw this was years ago, and it kind of reminded me of that today, what we're just talking about. But yeah, if you get a chance, look up the WCW CD-ROM on YouTube. Maybe I'll find some and post it on Pro Wrestling Planet. But it's pretty interesting.
All right.
Cool. Yeah. No, that sounds dope. Did we lose Chuck?
No, I'm here. I was just a little late. I had to run off real quick, man. But yeah, thank you, and we'll be sure to look into that album.
Share it on the Pro Wrestling Planet Instagram for real.
No, for real, yeah. And by the way, thank you for posting it on Pro Wrestling Planet, our official partner on with the World Generation Podcast Network. So yeah. Guys, there was one last thing that we never really addressed tonight, and
what?
That was Ric Flair.
Honestly, to be honest, who cares if Ric Flair got released? Like,
stop it.
No, honestly, like, who cares?
No. I care. What about his fucking, his official release statement on Twitter? Every word is capitalized.
Okay.
I care. Every word is fucking capitalized.
What is it?
Yeah, he went on to say, I am officially able to respond to all the press related to my requested release from WWE, which they have given me. I want to make it really clear with everyone that I'm not upset with WWE at all. They solely are responsible for putting me in the position of life that I am in right now, where I'm seen in the brightest light ever. We have a different vision for my future. I wish them nothing but continued success. Thank you for everything. Nothing but respect. Now, he also did an interview with People Magazine And he spoke about his departure, and he mentioned how everything was on friendly terms. He said, we just didn't see eye to eye on some business opportunities that I wanted to pursue, so I asked for my release. There has been no animosity, and everything has been on friendly terms. Now, of course, he dismissed the reports that say that he messaged Vince and shit over the frustration of Charlotte Flair's booking. He noted that they are absolutely not true.
It was probably easy for him to quit.
Now, he says, it happens sometimes in business, you just don't see eye to eye. But how could I have any animosity towards the company who made me who I am? They literally made me who I am. Some of my best friends in the world work at that company. How could I possibly be upset with the company where my daughter is currently the most decorated women's wrestler in history?
Debatable.
He says, it was mutually agreed upon. It was a mutually agreed upon decision, and I will be moving forward to pursue other exciting endeavors, such as my own line of wine, my own network, as well as comic books. I had to make this decision personally for my business and my brand. So he's talking about the Ric Flair brand. And I've often wondered about, is Ric Flair going to be like Kiss in the end? Although he doesn't have as much merchandise nearly as Kiss. But, I believe that Kiss is going to go on forever. Even after Paul and Gene are dead, Kiss is still going to go on. And there's always going to be a fucking Kiss until the end of the world.
You know what's
weird? Do you think this could happen with Ric Flair and a new Ric Flair emerges?
No, there would never be a new Ric Flair. No. But you know
someone
what's weird,
just
right?
Takes over his persona.
You know what? That will never
happen. There'll be a Nature Boy. There'll be another Nature Boy soon in the future. Watch. Just like there was Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and Nature Boy Ric Flair. There'll be another Nature Boy.
From Buddy Rogers, actually.
Yeah, there's going to be a new, there's going to be a new Nature Boy. You'll see.
You know what? You know what's
Boy
weird?
Brand lives on, baby.
You know what's weird? There's a weird connection going on that some of these people are with people that Randy Orton has affiliated with, right? Randy takes out Matt Hardy. He goes to AEW. Randy takes out Christian. He goes to AEW. Randy makes fun of Mark Henry. He goes to AEW.
Oh, shit.
Randy destroys Big Show. He goes to AEW. And now Randy beats up Ric Flair. Now he leaves the company. Those are five people that Randy affiliated with himself last year. And they're all in different company. I would not be surprised if they let go Shawn Michaels next. Watch. If they let go Shawn Michaels.
No, man. Shawn Michaels is up in NXT and running the show.
It doesn't
there
matter.
Triple
Nobody's
H.
safe at this point. Nobody's safe at this point. Nobody is safe. I would not be surprised if they let go of Shawn Michaels. If Shawn Michaels gets released, something's going on. Something's going on with Randy Orton.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, he'll go to a better company, which is AEW. And it is a better company. You know what I mean? I'll stand on Vince McMahon's coffee table and say that AEW is a better company.
Yeah.
So, guys.
Anyone? Anyone?
Yeah.
You did not do on AEW Weekly. We are running out of time. Shall we do a little AEW Weekly and run into a little bit of overtime, or shall we pass on that? What do you guys think?
No, let's pass on that. Nothing really interesting happened in AEW,
I looked for NXT tonight, and I didn't see anything. And then I thought, well, don't they have Don't they have fucking AEW Dark or some shit on Tuesday night?
Well,
so I looked for it too, but I didn't see it. Is it on TNT or what channel?
Tonight on NXT, Dakota Kai was going to explain why she attacked her partner. And that's about it. NXT is fucking boring. Right? It's unwatched. It's boring now. I'm sorry. The fact that they have to bring back Samoa Joe is not a good sign, because that means your product is shit. If you're bringing back somebody old like Samoa Joe back in NXT, that's bad.
Bunch of horse shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Henry was remembering recently about John Cena crying during his famous heel turn. He says it was real. That's why it worked so well, because I truly wanted to retire and not wrestle and become more of an executive and do more coaching and training and work and support. But they didn't want me to do that. They wanted me to keep working as talent, so I was basically going to retire anyway. And Vince just talked me out of it. I knew for about 4 months. I still prepared like I was retiring that night.
And it was
one of the more emotional moments in my life, because I mourned the death of my career. And that's the way that I looked at it. That's why I was so emotional. It was over, and when I put the boots on the steps and walked through the ring, I said everything that I would have said at a retirement. And my kids did cry at the time when I left home. It used to hurt me being on the plane going, I'm going to miss ballet. I'm going to miss tap dance recitals. I'm going to miss my kids who are in a band. It was tough. It was easy to draw the emotion of the moment because it was real, he says. So, yeah, said you walk off the stage and you walk into people, everybody was there and everybody was applauding and clapping, kind of coming up and hugging me. I was like, damn, I would have retired a long time ago if I knew I would have gotten everyone's attention. That will always gonna be one moment in my career that I'll treasure. John Cena was crying.
One of the many.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mark Henry. Guys, let's close those out.
All right. Well, I'll go first. Thank you, everybody, for listening into Fatal 4 Radio. I've been Christian from Philly. See you next week, motherfuckers. Peace out, bitches.
Christian from Philly. Thank you. Thank you very much. Christian, the watchdog. Legendary. Next.
Yeah, I'll go next. It was a cool episode. We didn't get to cover a lot of what actually, like, wrestling happened, which is cool. There was a bunch of news. So, you know, some of it bad news, but not horrible news. I think it's all...
We had a news night.
Yeah, nice. Breaking news. And, yeah, SummerSlam's coming up. I'm not too hyped about that, but Reggie is still next month for local wrestling. Check them out. That's going to be a cool show. Low-key, Savio Vega, and then all their staples for Ninja Mac, for sure. Check out Ninja Mac because he's doing I'm actually going to watch GCW. That's on the 7th. You can watch that on Fight TV, and it'll be the first episode since Matt Cardona's thing. So, I'm pretty sure it's the first thing since he won the belt. So let's watch that. Ninja Mac's going to be on that show too. Yeah.
That's from L.A.?
They're going to be in L.A. on that one, yeah.
Man, August 7th?
Mm-hmm.
On Fight TV?
On Fight TV.
I got to check that out.
Probably like $14, $15.
Yeah, I got to check that shit out. I got to check that shit out, and we can report on it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kazye. Thank you, bud. Thank you, as always. Albert, close this stuff up, my friend.
Hey, it was a great show. It was a fun show. Everybody mask up. Watch out for the Delta variant. Be kind to one another. Go like the new Instagram page at The Pro Wrestling Planet. There's going to be a lot more stuff going on there. And, of course, go to the Facebook group, Pro Wrestling Planet. There's a Facebook page, too, which is not very active right now. But you'll find us, Fatal 4-Way Radio, broadcasted on there. And it's just a great way to, you know, keep in touch with other wrestling fans and just complain that we, you know, complain all day like we do. So that's great. Good night, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert is back there. Yeah, and so we want to thank everybody for listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio. And as always, I am Internet Radio Zone, the resident heel minister of sinister, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel. And as always, keep it sexy. Peace out. We'll see you next time right here. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Hey, Minister of Sinister here with a public service announcement, because we do that here too, you know. Nevertheless, COVID-19. Have you been vaccinated? I have, and guess what? It didn't cost me a thing. In fact, it allows me to walk around most businesses freely without a mask, which is a huge plus. I mean, how many times have you walked up to a store only to have to walk back to your car when you realize you left your stupid mask behind? Come on. Go get vaccinated. Look, folks, you know me. I'm the first one to call a spade when I see one. You know this. It's all a bunch of horse shit. We all know this. Why did I get vaccinated? Hear me out, folks. Honestly, I don't want to find myself in the ICU getting badgered by a freaking news reporter as to why I didn't get vaccinated. I saw this today on the midday news as I was checking out of La Quinta. Also, here's the thing. I'm anxious to see what other horse shit they're going to come up with to take away our freedom, because this has been a test. A test, folks, to gauge what all they can get away with. But I digress. Go get back, folks, so we can find out what the hell they're up to. Together.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the World Generation Podcast Network.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.